This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 25th, episode 1242. Good morning, Horse World.
It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride!
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies' Day every day.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show, come on out to the rodeo, you got your
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Horses in the Morning on this Tuesday morning. We want to welcome Heather to her first time co-hosting here on Horses in the Morning. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Now I feel like I need to talk in a Southern accent today because we're talking all about rodeo and girls and rodeo. And by the way, this could become my favorite show of the month. I'm just saying.
Well, I certainly hope so.
To hang out with all the good-looking rodeo girls. I am ready. I am ready to go. And you're going to be here the fourth Tuesday of every month, bringing a little culture to the show. We appreciate that.
I'm excited. Can't wait.
And we are also going to be putting this out for new listeners of the show, if you're listening live for the first time, because you're coming over here to hear the lovely Heather. We are going to be putting this show out, like we do every Horses in the Morning, every day, on our app. You can find that at Horse Radio Network on your app store, iOS or Android, and that's how you listen to the recorded version of the show, or on our website or iTunes or any of the other players out there for podcasts. So that's how most people listen, is to the recorded version, but we want to let you know that in case you're a brand new listener to the show. You know, we met at the Florida Podcasting Association, right?
We sure did. Thanks to Katie.
And, you know, Katie is from Biz Women Rock, and she does rock. I love her show. She has one of the best podcasts out there for business women, and there's a lot of people in this audience that are business women in the horse world, and they should be listening. And you know what? You know what? She wanted to come on and say hi and welcome you to podcasting, too. Hi, Katie.
What's going on, Glenn? What's going on, Heather?
Okay, so y'all made me cry my first episode. That's not fair.
Welcome to Horse Radio Network. I'm so excited. This is awesome. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Heather obviously did not know about Katie coming.
No!
That
surprised me and I cry, Glenn. That's not cool.
Actually, Katie, you were responsible. Heather's been looking at doing podcasting for a long time. And then when I found my podcasting family in Florida, which I consider you guys now, we actually were at a meeting and you introduced me to Heather and you said, Heather, you should be doing Horse Radio Network. So thank you, Katie, for putting us in touch. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're
so
very
much.
Welcome. Oh, you're very welcome. It's one of those things when you see that there's a perfect match and there's ways that you guys could obviously help each other and your audiences could both really benefit, and it just ended up working out well. And I'm just very happy that you guys got along so well and it turned out so beautifully.
Well, Katie, let's give a plug for your show because she does a show called Biz Women Rock. You can find it on all the usual podcasting places. And it's not just for women, because I happen to listen to it too. And I learn a lot. You know, it's all about business women and how they've done what they've done and how they make it work and how they do the marketing. And it really gets into the nitty gritty of their businesses. And you talk to some very famous people too, so I'm privileged to know you, and I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you, Glenn. I really appreciate that. That's really sweet of you. And man, I'm excited to be listening to the Women in Radio show. I don't know about you, but that's exciting for me.
well, you know, I just have to say one thing. At the beginning of your shows, you say something to the effect of "Hi, ladies," and I take offense to that every time I listen. I'm just saying, okay. So I just.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll say hi, ladies, and Glenn from now on.
Okay, good. Thanks, Katie. I appreciate you accommodating me. Katie, thank you so much. Biz Women Rock. What's the website? Is it bizwomenrock.com?
That's it. Yep.
Thanks for joining us. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome. Congratulations, Heather.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. A little
that
surprise
awesome.
To start your show.
Yay, that was awesome.
Well, I know you were a little nervous to do this for the first time. You know, most people that start podcasting start and nobody's listening to their first
right.
couple episodes, right? You didn't have that privilege. You come onto
exactly.
a show that already has tens of thousands of listeners and you're going, oh man, I'm a little nervous. And I thought, who could make you less nervous than Katie?
That was perfect.
And Katie's what, about 9 months pregnant right now?
And still rocks a pair of boots.
She does. She looked great. We saw her in Texas and had a lot of fun there. It was a good time. And her husband, Chris, they do a great job for Tampa area. They really are involved in the business world of Tampa and making that whole world click down there. And they do a great job. So
they sure do.
We appreciate having them as friends. Well, tell us about your horsey self there, Heather.
Well, horsey. Sadly, I do not have horses right now.
We've all been there.
Yeah. You know, I grew up with them. I didn't rodeo. Rodeo is not a cheap sport to get into. So my family, we just didn't have the money. But I rode horses. We had horses. My dad was a day working cowboy when I was younger. So I definitely, you know, grew up around that and grew up around ranch. And I showed steers. And so I grew up in that life and always loved the rodeo. So it just naturally, as I started blogging and started working in the fashion part of the industry, I started reaching out to rodeo queens because who doesn't love, you know, the glitz of the rodeo queens? And then I remembered how much I loved this life and started reaching out to the barrel racers. And I have just loved every minute of it and feel like they have embraced me and couldn't, you know, thank them enough for all of their inspiring stories and just their, you know, being there for me through all of this. I've had some really wonderful women helping me along the way, especially Miss Rodeo America, the organization. All of those women have been great to me.
Well, you know, you have a pretty good following too over on Facebook for your Women in Rodeo page over there. And you really have been one that's kind of uniting that world and helping to get the word out about women in rodeo to other people like we're doing today.
Yes, the Facebook is just starting to grow. I started on Instagram and we're a little over 9,000 on there, and they're starting to come over to the Facebook as well. And I think that they're loving the fact that someone is giving them the spotlight and, you know, bringing more of their world to, the rodeo world and showing what they have been doing. So.
And it's a large world. I mean, as a subset of the horse world, the women in rodeo and the barrel racing world is pretty large.
It's very big, and most people don't realize that. Right here in Florida, most people that I talk to have no idea we have rodeos going on, and they are in almost every town on almost every weekend, and people do not realize that. So, yeah, it's a huge world, and even as big as it is, though, everybody knows everybody.
Right, right. Yeah, it's one of those. It's like every other subsection of the horse world. You all kind of know each other, and you run into each other, but yet you don't, because there's
yes.
so many people involved in it. Well, we're glad to have that coming up today. We have a bunch of fun guests for you. And I know Jennifer probably didn't have time to put that together today. So what's coming up on today's show? So we'll just tell you a little bit about it. We're going to have a rodeo news segment that's being provided by therodeonews.com, the authorities in that space. And then we had a chance to pre-record while she was traveling yesterday, one of the top women in rodeo, right? Fallon Taylor. She's like the superstar there.
Totally. Yeah. Yes, she is quite loved.
And you worked hard to get that. So people should appreciate this because Heather worked her butt off to get that interview done, and we managed to get it accomplished yesterday. Lovely woman, Fallon Taylor, coming up. And then also you have a couple more guests. Tell us about those later in the show.
Yes, we have Lorinda Van Newkirk with Gypsy Soul coming on, and we have Lauren Heaton with Miss Rodeo America as well.
And is she the current Miss Rodeo America?
She is.
Okay.
She is, yep.
Oh,
and
cool.
she will be getting on a flight right after we were done with this interview. So she really worked hard to put some time in for us this morning.
And, you know, she we've had Rodeo Queens on before, but I think there's two organizations we determined, right?
Yes.
And we had the other one. So tell us about how's that work?
Well, there's Miss Rodeo USA and there's Miss Rodeo America. So there are two different ones, and they run on two different rodeo circuits. And I, you know, I'm not really well versed on that, but I do know that they're different rodeo circuits and different organizations.
Okay, good. So this is Miss Rodeo America.
Yes.
So this is like Miss America, and then there's Miss USA.
Correct.
So that's kind of like that. All right,
yes.
Good, I got it. I figured that out. Now, you also had an exciting day yesterday because you have a couple of little ones.
Yes. It was their first day of school. So that was quite interesting. I have one going into third and one going into seventh. And my little redhead, she's my third grader. She is quite the little spitfire. And she yesterday, she insisted on a dress, which shocked me because she's my little jeans and boots and she has to have her little blingy belt. And then she pops up with, I have to wear a dress, Mom. And and it was just the cutest thing. And then I have my seventh grader,
Savannah. The age.
Oh, yes. I love her, though. I have to be nice because she's going to be listening to this, and I don't want to get myself in any trouble.
It's a great age. That's what I meant to say.
Yes, she's great. She is a straight-A student, and she works her tail off, so she's a joy.
And they look as cute as a Dickens when you dress them all up, all Western. I saw pictures, and they are just darling.
Well, thank you. Thank you. They're my joy.
They really are. And, you know, you said your dad worked at ranches, and that's something that you don't hear too often anymore. He was an actual cowboy.
Yes, he sure was. Yep, he worked in Myakka at, I think it was El Maximo. They called it, there was another name for it, when I was a little girl. And he day worked for a lot of years. And then...
What's that mean, day work?
So he worked cows, and he built fence, and he cowboy life. So that's what he did.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that Florida is one of the biggest ranch states in the country. It's actually right up there with Texas. Everybody thinks ranches, they think Texas. But in South Florida especially, there are huge farms. And we actually raise, I think it's almost as much cattle as Texas.
Well, I have two things to say about that. Number one, I don't know what the statistics are right now, but years ago when I was in high school, Deseret Ranches right here in Florida was one of the biggest cattle ranches this side of the Mississippi. So and it's still here. I spent a lot of summers over there. And right now in my hometown where I live, we have Renee Strickland. She is the president of the cattle export company here in America and exports cattle all over the world. And she lives right here in Florida. So
now, as I understand it, a lot of the farms here in Florida they'll birth the babies and they'll raise the babies up until they're of a certain age, and then they do get shipped out to the Midwest and to Texas to be finished. So we're kind of the baby state.
I believe so. I'm not positive on that one, but yes, I believe so.
Wow, that's really cool. And of course, we're known up in this part of the state, up in the northern part of Florida, for the crackers, which is not a derogatory term. That's actually
correct.
What they were actually
correct.
The group of cowboys up here.
Yes.
That worked the farms in northern Florida.
Right. And we have Florida crackers right here, too, in Myakka and all over. So they're all over Florida, really.
And they actually had cracker horses, right?
Yes.
So they had it was their own kind of breed of horses. Now, I think they were descended from the Spanish breeds that were left here and when they were here. And it was kind of a cross mix between a whole bunch of breeds. But it ended up being the cracker horses, which are kind of looks like Mustangs, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So,
I agree.
Hey, we've never talked about the cracker horses.
Know.
We'll have to get somebody on to talk about that because it is a fascinating thing. And it's very unique to a certain part of Florida. So that's kind of fun.
Very good.
Well, now, also, I have to talk to you about this because I think it's so cool because you're also a geek. And that is, you went to Comic-Con. Which one did you go to?
We went to the one in Tampa, and actually, it's my daughters. They twisted my arm and twisted my arm. They had to go, and it was quite the experience. I had never seen so many very serious people in full costume. Even at Halloween, I don't think I've seen this. It was quite interesting. My girls had a blast, though.
Did they go as cowgirls, or did they get dressed up as some superhero?
No, they didn't dress up. They did not dress up. But my Sierra, she was chasing everyone down she could get a hold of for pictures. And her favorite person is Captain America. And as we were leaving...
Oh, there were probably 50 of those, right?
No. I was shocked. As we were leaving, though, some guy was walking in, and he was dressed to the nines. And she chased him down, and she got her picture.
Captain America. Yes. There are some strange ones at Comic-Cons, too.
Oh, yes. You saw a little bit of everything. Yeah. Probably a little too much skin here and there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's some strange ones in the whole fantasy sci-fi realm.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're in Florida, you know, home of Orlando, right? So I imagine that we have our fair share here in Florida.
Yes.
That come out of the woodwork. Well, that's so cool. You know, I've never been to a Comic-Con. I've always wanted to go. I always thought that sounded like fun.
That was my first one. It was an experience, I'll say that.
Well, you had another experience recently, too, that I was talking to you about. And I've only been to one. And actually, this is so funny, we had the acting company then, and we actually did a show at my, I think it was 10th high school reunion. You recently went to your 20th?
Yes, 20 years.
Was that the first one you had gone to or not?
No, I went to my 10th as well, and then this was our 20th, yes.
Well, so how'd it go?
It was good. It was good. We have a good group of people that we all are pretty close. So we really had a great time. It was good to see everyone. We just kind of all met at a restaurant out on the water and hung out and had some drinks, and it really, really was a great time.
Well, you know...
I may have rolled into the house about 4 o'clock in the morning, though.
And there's always that one guy who lost all his hair and you don't recognize.
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
And even after 20 years, you got that guy.
Yes.
And then there's some women that have totally, like, changed, you know?
Yes.
And then the cheerleader-looking types are now the mothers, the motherly-looking types. And the ones who were a little bit frumpy in high school are now the supermodels.
Yes.
You know, that's just the way
it
works.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Now, so when I went to my 10th reunion, we actually had the acting company, we're doing Medieval Feast. So I went as a king to my 10th reunion. And actually, we couldn't stay because we had another show to do. So we packed up and left right away. So I didn't get to visit with many people. But they got to see me in tights and a dress in my 10th reunion. So there you go.
And so are there pictures?
No, I don't know.
I think I need to ask Jen.
We did so many shows back then. That was a long time ago. We did so many shows back then. And that's the last reunion I was ever at.
Goodness.
It was the 10th. But it was fun. We did have a good time.
It sounds fun.
Yep. And we're going to get to our first guest here shortly. But I did want to mention to new listeners of the show as well that we are here Monday through Friday on Horses in the Morning. And as we mentioned earlier, Heather is here the fourth Tuesday of every month and will be joining us from now on. And we're going to be talking a little rodeo and getting a little Western. And the rest of the time, Jamie Jennings hosts 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Heather had a little experience with Jamie yesterday. So she got to meet and say hi to Jamie. And then we have on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do special episodes like this one. So we have 8 different special episodes that we do once a month. And I think that if you keep tuning in, you're going to like a lot of those as well. All right, let's get to our first guest. Do you want to introduce her?
Sure. Siri, are you on?
I am.
Hi. Okay, everybody. This is Siri with Rodeo News Magazine, and she's coming on. We're going to get to know her a little bit, and she will have a rodeo news segment every episode. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Siri, before you get started, did you hate Apple when they did that to you?
Actually, I've tried to reach out to Apple because that is my name, and just to see, you know, kind of a human interest story there. All the series will please step forward, I thought would have been kind of a fun thing to do.
That would be awesome.
Do you think they looked and determined that Siri was not a very common name, so we can risk offending all those people? You think?
No, I think that from what I understand, Siri is the first letters of the company that developed the software for it.
And actually,
I don't think they ever thought about it.
I actually saw a segment on the news where she's an actual person that does voiceovers. And she had recorded all those little things that Siri says, having no idea who was going to pick it up or what was going to be done with it. So supposedly she's a real person.
Huh. Well, it's not me.
You wish it was.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I think that they could give me like a free phone for life or something because yeah. it's my name. I don't know.
Some kind of royalties, right?
That sounds
how,
good.
How did you?
I've reached out to them a couple of times and nobody's responded, but we've decided within our office that we're going to make a video that Siri needs an upgrade because I went to Starbucks one time and they put my name, you know, on the cup. And then when the bistro delivered it, she goes, really? Come on. We've had all kinds of names on cups, but not this one. And I said, no, that's me. So it was kind of funny.
Where does that name come from? What?
It's Scandinavian.
Okay.
It was my grandmother's name, kind of a passed down through the ages kind of name.
Very cool. Well, we're glad to have you, Siri.
Thank you.
And I promise to limit the jokes, okay? I promise.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, you're in a safe zone
here. I really can't control him, so I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So spend a couple minutes just explaining what your magazine encompasses and what all you cover in your magazine.
Okay. So the Rodeo News began 23 years ago, as a little roping newsletter serving Colorado. And it expanded. When I purchased it in 2003, I had a vision to make a regional magazine in each circuit covering rodeo. But with print the way it is, that dream had to be condensed into just one rodeo magazine to serve the entire nation, with the purpose of highlighting and showcasing the rodeo people that need that kind of spotlight and deserve it for all the hard work they do and the efforts they put as athletes. So it covers 45 rodeo associations across the nation, National Little Britches, National Senior Pro, a lot of regional and state associations. And it allows the readers to go to rodeos and compete throughout regions in one magazine. They know when the schedules are and what the standings are and what the results are, and that's kind of our little niche that we've developed. And it's kind of an amazing, it's a God-driven magazine for sure. The people that see it don't know how we produce that every 2 weeks, and to be honest, the people in the office don't know how we do it either. It's a lot of information packed in every 2 weeks.
It's quite impressive.
So that's how it started.
Impressive.
It's been a labor of love. I travel pretty much every weekend to a rodeo to photograph it and do stories on it. I just got back from Steamboat Springs, where they had a 10-week series every Friday and Saturday night for the PRCA. And most people that competed in it were from the Mountain States Circuit. But I was able to interview two outstanding women in rodeo, Kirsten Vold and her mother, Karen Vold, because they have been living in their trailers there at the arena now for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Producing this rodeo. So it's just every time I go to a rodeo, I'm enlightened and joyful at the extreme efforts that people put on to produce these events and these shows throughout the nation.
Absolutely. It's a lot of hard work. And so you were talking about photographing. You recently obtained your PRCA photo card, correct?
I did. And I that's an honor and a privilege to have that card. It's an extremely, you have to go to three rodeos, produce day sheets and photos, and then there's a whole process to obtain that card. And it's a prestigious thing when you get it. And I've been shooting rodeo now for 15 years and so finally got my card, and I'm honored to be part of the PRCA with that card. Going to the NFR and being able to shoot that rodeo, it's just spectacular athletes and contestants, obviously, at that performance. But I did that just so that I could go to the PRCA rodeos and be able to shoot those and showcase my work.
Now, do you have to have that card to be able to go and be a photographer at a rodeo? I don't know anything about it, so...
The way they have that set up is you don't have to have your card. If there's a PRCA photographer at a rodeo, at a PRCA rodeo, you're you're not allowed to sell your photos or do anything with your images if you're not a PRCA photographer at a PRCA event, supposedly. Now, people, if they don't have a PRCA photographer, the committees will, you know, use the photos from whatever photographer they can get there. So it's kind of a, there's so many rodeos and so many people that shoot them. It's just a way to make sure that the people that have PRCA photographer cards are actually accredited. It's just an accreditation process. So I'm honored to be part of the team.
I think that's cool. I've been to, you know, we go to Rolex every year and you know, get 50,000 people there in Kentucky for the 3-day event. And there are just 100 photographers there and all fighting for space. And so I kind of see why you have that. And I kind of think it's a great idea because of that problem is everybody now thinks they are a photographer, one. And there's so many more of them than there ever has been in the past.
Right. Especially when you can take photos with your phone.
Right. Exactly. Cool.
Well, so you've been to a lot of youth rodeos this summer. You want to tell us a little bit about the youth rodeos and what all was going on?
Yes, ma'am. I'd be happy to do that. The youth rodeos that I go to are the International Finals Youth Rodeo, which is held in Shawnee, Oklahoma every year. And it's given the name as the world's richest youth rodeo because of the amount of money that they give away to these kids. And so that's the beginning of the rodeo run in the summer. It's like a traveling gypsy mobile because the people go from there to the National High School Finals, which was held in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And then they go from there to the National Little Bridges Finals, which is held in Pueblo. And so it's all youth. There's 900 to 1,500 contestants at each of these rodeos. And it's just an absolute honor to be able to interview and talk to them. One of the showcase people from this year's youth rodeo series was a young woman named Caitlin Miller, who came and took the rodeo by storm. She received all-around Rookie of the Year as well as all-around for the National High School, and this little gal competes in Utah. She actually lives in Nevada. Her parents have a huge ranch there that's several thousand acres, and she's grown up ranching and rodeoing and just quite the hand, competes in all the events and is homeschooled and just absolutely loves her life as a cowgirl. It's an honor to meet and be able to photograph and do stories on these up-and-coming young women that are rodeo contestants and quite good athletes.
Yeah, I believe she's the one I saw a picture, and she was surrounded by all of these saddles and buckles, and I was really impressed. It was quite an impressive picture.
Yes, ma'am. She has been rodeoing since she was 7, and
wow.
I think she's accumulated 37 saddles already, and she's 16.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Whoa. I keep telling all the English writers they're in the wrong world. They need to go into Western where they actually win stuff. You know,
I think there's a lot of opportunities for English writers to. One of the things that English does is produces horsemanship and balance. You know, when you're posting and doing the discipline of English writing, it adds to your ability actually to sit a horse better on the Western side of things.
I agree, but you guys win more stuff. So I'm just saying.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, and rodeo is quite, I didn't grow up in a rodeo family. I actually grew up in a military family, and then I married a rancher and did the ranching lifestyle. The rodeo family is a tight-knit group of people that not only help and assist each other, but are there for each other when the times are down and the times are up. I mean, it's one of the few events, sporting events, that it's, while it's an individual competition between an animal and a person or with a person, it's also a group effort. When you look at the people trying to make the NFR, they go from rodeo to rodeo, and they just become a tight-knit family. And
yeah,
they're rooting for each other. Yeah.
I notice a lot of these girls will team up and ride together, you know, from rodeo to rodeo and help each other. And you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there that is great to see. I see that a lot.
Exactly. I was photographed when I was in Steamboat. One of the gals that I took pictures of was not riding her horse. Her horse had colicked that day, and so she was on her friend's horse competing.
Yeah,
and,
I hear
and
that, too.
And you do see that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just, people don't realize the effort it takes. You know, you get done with a rodeo as a spectator. You get in your car and you drive. The contestants get done at the rodeo. They get in their rig and they drive to the next one, sometimes all night long, to get to the next rodeo so that they can compete and keep their money or their standings up there where they want to be. And a lot of these people that I cover have full-time jobs. So they'll leave after work Friday, be gone all weekend long rodeoing, and get back to work on Monday morning.
And you know what else I see? I see on Facebook, I'll see a post, oh my gosh, my tire trailer blew. I am, you know, this is where I'm at. Can anybody help? And I see people flood to that post and find someone to come and help that person. I see that happening all the time too. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Yep.
It's a very tight-knit group of people and they keep very well connected with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you.
So the rodeo news is the purpose of the rodeo news is to keep that connection going and to share the stories, the incredible stories of these fine athletes. We recently added the Utah High School and Junior High Rodeo Association to our family, and we spotlight three different contestants in each issue for them. And their secretary is so delighted, and so are the kids. It's like she said, for a lot of these kids, it's the only time they'll see their name and their picture in print. So it's an exciting adventure for them as well.
That's great. That's so great that you do that. Well, I'm excited
yes,
to have
ma'am.
You on this show and look forward to hearing all the great things every month that's been going on in the rodeo news world. And I look forward to having you on the next show. Is there anything else?
I'm excited to be part of this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Is there anything else you want everyone to know about with rodeo news right now?
Well, we do have quite the following on Facebook, Rodeo News does. So we have 400 some odd thousand.
Yes, I saw that.
and we also have all of our information, all of our stories, as well as the magazine, can be seen online at therodeonews.com. We tried to get rodeonews.com, which is a domain name that is owned by somebody but not in use. So our domain name is therodeonews.com. And I welcome all of your listeners to go to that site and have fun. There's a lot of information, a lot of good stories on there.
Well, thank you, Siri. It was really nice talking to you, and I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this.
Thanks,
yes,
Siri.
Ma'am.
Take care.
Have a great day.
TheRodeoNews.com is where you can find more information about that. I was just over there, and I was reading some of the articles, and she is a great photographer. I was looking at some of her pictures, too. So you can find all of those over there at TheRodeoNews.com. Well, we had an opportunity yesterday to interview one of the top barrel racers in the world, and she is very popular. She's like the superstar of barrel racing. So if each of the disciplines in the horse world has a celebrity, she's one of them for barrel racing. And kids love her. People love her. She has a great product line, too. You know, she really is a businesswoman, which I think is the other thing that makes her maybe a little bit different than somebody who's just out there competing, right? I mean, she is a true businesswoman.
Absolutely. She impresses me as a businesswoman.
Yeah. And, I think she figured out early on that she had to be that. You know, and to be able to make a living and do this and be able to afford the gas and the truck to drive all those hours that Siri just talked about. So we had an opportunity to talk to Fallon Taylor. Let's take a listen to that interview we did yesterday. Maybe.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. I know you've been very busy. You're on the road all day today. Where are you heading?
I am heading to the Champions Challenge in Kennewick, Washington.
Oh, how fun. I'm very jealous about that. I wanted to, you may have some fans on the show listening tomorrow that may not exactly know who you are. So I want to kind of go back a little bit and talk about how you got started in barrel racing real quick. Can you give us a real quick explanation on that?
Sure. When I was 7 years old, my family, I was born in Tampa, Florida, and my family saw rodeo on television. And I saw it, and just a private school kid that had never been around horses in my life. And for my birthday, my parents brought me to the rodeo that I saw on TV, and I got to see it live. And the next week, I was participating in the rodeo. They bought my professional permit and a horse and the rodeo starter kit and fringy shirt, and I went after it. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was probably one of the worst out there doing it, but, you know, we all have to start somewhere.
Did they seat belt you to the saddle? Was that the first time out? We're just going to staple her to the saddle and send her out?
No, I just hung on for dear life.
You know, I really was shocked to hear you are from Tampa. I had no idea. You're right from my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. I love it down there. And every year we've been able to have a champions challenge down there. So we get to go see the family and they get to see me compete, which is pretty rare for my family. So I get excited every time I get to go down south.
Oh, that's awesome. So have you ever rode in this Silver Spurs arena like when you were younger?
Yep. Every year there's a champions challenge there.
Okay. Awesome. So at some point you were injured. I think I saw a picture of you with a halo, and your injury is what, you know, started you with promoting helmets and the use of helmets in barrel racing. Can you tell us some about that?
Yes. In 2009, I had a horse accident where I broke bones on the right side of my face, 4 skull fractures, and then broke my C2, which is the same as Christopher Reeve's injury, Superman, which he ended up being a quadriplegic, and I'm best case scenario of that injury. So I'm just a walking miracle, and that's been my message. You know, I've tried to inspire and let people see through their tragedies to experience a lot of success and to overcome those things, to know that those aren't anything but just little speed bumps in the road. So I've tried, along with that, to promote helmets and the use of helmets, which I started last year at the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas. And it's been an incredible movement in our sport to see youth feel more accepted when they wear a helmet, and they can connect to somebody that's, you know, kind of cool in the industry, that they don't feel made fun of or ridiculed for doing what's safest for them.
And I really relate to that, because when I was growing up, you just weren't seen wearing a helmet. And I have 2 girls that are getting started and want to barrel race. And now as a mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really fearful. And for you to bring that confidence to these girls means a lot to me as a mom.
Thank you so much. I get to hear really cool stories at every single rodeo I go to. I get to hear some sort of a testimonial about somebody that's lost a loved one or knows somebody that's been severely injured, that's changed their life and has gotten them to, you know, look a little deeper at having their children wear helmets or start to continue to wear helmets. But it's pretty cool to see the movement going across the nation and getting to see these people in different parts of the country really get to connect with that story of mine and hopefully make the next generation feel a little bit less stigma about changing to wear a helmet.
Fallon, we are big supporters of helmet wearing here. We're good friends with Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And,
yes.
You know, and we're also good friends, and she hosts here on this show all the time, Tammy Sarantz, the mounted shooter, who I'm sure you've run into at times, who wears
yes,
a helmet now.
Absolutely.
Yep. And what do you think? Do you think that, I kind of think that just the fact that you guys are doing it, you don't even have to really be out there preaching it. The fact that you're actually doing it and you have the positions that you do, both world champions, do you think that that's probably the most important thing that'll make the change?
I think just, you know, for me, I think the biggest change has come from not just getting on my soapbox and wearing it in a really large platform in Las Vegas, but when I practice or when I'm at someone's house or the cameras aren't on me or there's no pictures being taken and people see me put a helmet on when no one's looking, I think they understand that this is something genuine and it's something that I believe in and that there are, you know, I'm a role model for the next generation. So it's really, really important to me that this is a very genuine thing. And I think that's what people have been able to connect to the most.
Well, thank you for that.
Yes. And you were hurt recently. Well, you weren't hurt, but you did have another accident. And there you were. You had your helmet on and you were able to show that to everyone again.
Yes, absolutely. And I was in the back of an ambulance, but it wasn't for my head, which was wonderful.
Hey, we've ordered you a fashion bubble wrap suit. We're going to have it sent over.
Yes.
It has fringe on it.
And lots of
shoulder
sparkles.
Pads. You'll look great. It'll be terrific.
It'll be
I can't wait. I need one of those. I need one of those. I'm going to have to be airlifted up on top of my horse. But other than that, it should be awesome.
We'll do it like they used to do with the knights. We'll have a winch. Just winch you up there and drop you on. You'll be great.
That's what I need.
So to switch gears a little bit, you are so well followed on all social media, and I just had to give you a shout out real quick. I saw that you are the first person in rodeo to be confirmed by Facebook and get the little blue check mark. That's pretty awesome.
I am. I didn't know it would be such a big deal, and I saw it kind of going across Twitter that I was the first person verified on Facebook in rodeo history, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And I'm excited to collect my little blue checks because I'm impersonated constantly online, and it's a little disarming because there's things that I can't control that I'm like, that's not me. I didn't do that, you know, and that's why they protect us with the blue checks. So it's not just a little notch in my belt. It's definitely, you know, something that I'm proud of, that rodeo is getting to that point where we're recognized by other outlets.
Do they make you get a Facebook tattoo now? Is that a requirement?
Yes. I have a Facebook tattoo, a Twitter bird tattoo, and an Instagram tattoo. And I'm waiting to fill in the other two blue checks so I can get those tattoos. So I do it on my legs so everybody can't see it.
Oh, there you go.
So you wear many, many hats. You have a lot going on. You're quite the businesswoman. And I have to say, you really, really impress me on the business scene. Just holding it all together. And I mean, you're a barrel racer. You have the Dynasty Horses, the clothing, ranch dressing, and your social media marketing for the rodeo world is phenomenal. How do you hold all of it together?
I just see a responsibility, I guess, is my answer to that. I have a responsibility, and I feel like this position, when you have this many people watching what you do, you need to be a good steward of it, and you need to give them, I may be open to criticism, and that's totally fine with me, as long as everybody that's a true fan can get a closer look into what this life is like, so that they can live vicariously through me. I think it's really cool. People wish that they were doing this, and they may be working a job or you know, overseas or wherever they may be doing things, you know, that's really vital to this country and the troops that are fighting and whatever else. And if I can take them away from that for just a minute and let them see inside this little fantasy bubble that I live in, then I'm willing to be open to the criticism as well. Cause with the good comes the bad, and that's totally fine with me. And balancing it all has been really easy. We have a really amazing crew at home. So I've got my business partner at home. I've got a full staff of young girls that we're not only mentoring, but we're teaching them the business side also. We just want the next generation to be able to walk through all the doors that I've broken down and all the barriers that I've been able to break through.
Well, that's wonderful. You really do impress me. And another thing is I see a need for a lot of the barrel racers or anyone in rodeo to really embrace social media and help get the word out there. And you are someone to definitely look to that does it all the right way. So I feel like you're blazing a trail for that.
I'm trying. And at the same time, I hope that I'm giving people another outlet so that, you know, rodeo people are a lot of things, but none of us are greedy. And I think that with endorsements and different things, you will get swept behind if you don't learn to really embrace and empower yourself with social media. So I feel like there's going to be a generation of people that just feel left out and a generation that steps up and really raises the bar for rodeo and helps carry it on into, you know, the next generation. They can step up and make it revolutionary.
And I got to tell you, I was a web designer for a long time, and your website is terrific. I love the 25 things you don't know about me on the homepage. And I love the fact that you put, I smell food before I eat it, just like a horse. And then right after you put, I love sauerkraut. And the two of those together, I don't know, Fallon.
I'm quirky. I'm just like I dress. I fly my freak flag. It's right there for you to see.
That's why I loved you put it out here, because it just, it's all right there. The 25 things you didn't know.
Yeah,
right?
It's all right there. I'm a walking contradiction. I live on the edge and I put safety first. I'm a walking contradiction. It's right there. My web designer at home is one of the girls that's on staff at home. She's a young girl that's got her own business as well. And I've been able to help her with that. And it's just so exciting because it's one big collaboration. So it's not just me and this little red horse. It's a whole group of people that are keeping me going.
Well, I'll give her a round of applause then too.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So Gypsy Soul, you have teamed up and you're working with Gypsy Soul, and you have some of their clothes, or your clothes are on their website now, right?
Yes, we teamed up and made a collaborative effort to get some denim going that was a little less wild than my tie-dye, but still way edgier than their traditional denim line. And it was pretty much a no-brainer for both of us. We jumped in there, made some designs that would really cross over to youth and adults. I've got a line of jewelry, handbags, and jeans with them, and it's been doing so incredibly well. And it's just fun to see everybody wearing these things when I go to rodeos. So everybody has just really, really loved it. And who doesn't love to wear Gypsy Soul? Everybody loves it. And just a really great line to collaborate with.
Absolutely. And I love seeing all the posts, especially on Twitter, of all the girls that are tagging you when they're wearing this stuff. It's just, it's so cute. I love it.
It makes my whole day. It's what I do all day long in between rodeos. I'm just checking out and seeing these girls at different events and seeing different genres and disciplines wearing tie-dye breeches and splatter paint jeans on a trail ride. And it's just really cool to see all the different areas that it's grown to.
You know what I love? When I was younger, I didn't ride. I mean, I rode horses, but I didn't ride in a rodeo or anything. We had, and I may be showing my age, but we had Lawmans and Rocky Mountains, and they were they were all kinds of colors. And so
they button right underneath your bra.
All the way, yes. So at least you brought some color back, but in a much more fashionable way.
Yeah, I think everybody can wear it. We made a bunch of designs that you can pair with heels and go on a date, or you can wear in the rodeo arena. So it's been really, really fun to watch this line grow, and I can't wait to see what we do in the future together.
Yes, I'm excited to see it too. Well, I am Fallon. I appreciate you coming and being on the show and taking some time, and hopefully we can catch up with you again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. Have an awesome day.
Thanks,
you
Fallon.
Too.
It's FallonTaylor.com is where you can find all the information about her, that list I said, and also the store where you can find the products that we were just talking about and a whole bunch more.
And that's RanchDressIn.com.
She was a fun guest. I know she was very busy yesterday. She was on an 11-hour trip to her next rodeo, I'm sure. And I swear that the rodeo girls spend 3/4 of their life in the truck.
I don't know how they do it.
I mean, that's, I think, just where they spend their life.
Absolutely. Just driving all the time.
Yep. From one rodeo to the next. It is definitely a gypsy lifestyle, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? The other thing, the difference between Western and English is you guys have much bigger, better trailers. Your trailers are awesome.
Their trailers are amazing. Amazing.
You go to like Quarter Horse Congress and look at where the parking is, and it's just one, you know, $500,000 trailer after another.
Yep. Right, you know, we have a fifth wheel trailer that we take camping, and their horse trailers are better than my fifth wheel trailer.
I know. They're just incredible. And they're incredible and very expensive. Very expensive toys. Well, we are going to take a break for a song, and you requested one, didn't you?
I sure did. I wanted Templeton Thomas Thompson, yep, her Cowgirl Creed song. I thought that was perfect for this first episode.
Very good. Templeton Thompson, and I got to say that she wrote me a very nice email yesterday. She's seen all the coverage here about the Horse Radio Network. And Templeton, you know, we've played more of your music than anybody else's. So we love you down there in Tennessee, and we're so happy that you're part of the growth of the Horse Radio Network. Templeton was one of our first guests 8 years ago, and she's been coming on ever since, and we love her to death. And this is one of my favorite songs of hers, too, Cowgirl Creed.
She said, I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will, and gumption. I'll just use what the good Lord gave me. So don't call me honey, and don't call me baby. Don't call me baby. I ride high. Cowgirl Creed, I dream as big as Texas, work hard and I'm faithful. I never cease to be amazed, dedicated and grateful. I try to be a good hand when a hand's what's needed, and I'll stay that way long as I'm living and breathing. And I'll die by the Cowgirl Creek. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can hear my heroes on the western wind say what's holding you back is keeping you in. Run and stare, but that ain't no way to live. So tear down those fences.
Well, that's a fitting song for today, Cowgirl Creed by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You can also search for Templeton Thompson on iTunes, and you'll find all of her music there as well for purchase. And we appreciate Templeton allowing us to play her music for all these years. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Heather Cannon, and it is Women in Rodeo Day. We're going to be doing this the fourth Tuesday of every month. So you can check it out there. We'll have the recorded version up about an hour after the show at horsesinthemorning.com. And Heather, where can people find all of the information and all the other things you do about women in rodeo? Oh, I think you're on mute. Oh, did we lose Heather?
WomenInRodeo.com.
WomenInRodeo.com. There you go. You know what? You'll get used to the whole mute-unmute thing.
So. Of course it had to happen. It can't go smooth the first time.
No, I mean, that happens to all of us. That still happens after 5 years of doing this, that we still do that. So it's all at WomenInRodeo.com. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
I do. It's a group page, and it's Women in Rodeo, and also on Instagram.
Okay, very good. And I know you do a lot of posts over there, and it's a very active community, so check it out at Women in Rodeo. Well, speaking of active communities, one of the things that makes rodeo rodeo is the fashion, so why don't you introduce our next guest, and look at that transition. Boy, am I good.
You are good. Yeah. Everybody, welcome Lorinda Van Newkirk with Gypsy Soul. I'm so excited to have her. Lorinda, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I've been listening in, and it's fantastic.
I'm super excited. I am excited that you're going to have a segment on the show. You're going to do a fashion segment every month and give us some, you know, in ideas of what's going on in the fashion world and some tips here and there. So I wanted to kind of let everyone get to know you a little bit. So tell us just a little bit about yourself real quick.
I am a born and raised Central and Southern California girl that I have grown up on cattle and horse ranches in California, and have always been into fashion, and made my way to Texas and started Gypsy Soul back in 2003 with my business partner, Amy Morehouse, where she grew up on the Pitchfork Ranch here in Texas.
Okay, and I saw that you were once a rodeo queen. Did I see that right?
Yes, I only let those pictures out every now and then.
I was going to say,
yes,
sounds like she doesn't.
Yes, I was.
Sounds... that an oops?
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like she didn't want to admit that.
Oh, I am a proud queenie. I am. And I won my hometown contest and my mother's hometown contest and had all the controversy that went with that because I grew up off the mountain. My mother was from Big Bear, and I grew up off the mountain, and, you know, I came in and won, and it was great. My grandfather built the arena in Big Bear, California, and my mother was a queen there, so it was kind of fun. And I love, you know, rodeo queen contests are fantastic for women, for speaking and impromptu thinking. And being able to dress up and wear all the clothes. I'm a very proud queenie. I just don't disclose it that much anymore.
Well, I didn't see pictures, but now I'm going to look for them.
Oh, they're on all my, whenever, when Mr. Rodeo America goes and I have several friends, you know, when there's contests going, I will do some throwbacks and post some. And the fun part is when people don't know and they see the pictures of my big hair and my tight size 3 Wrangler jeans. if there are some fun comments, that is for sure.
Along with that, though, you do some barrel racing, and you're still barrel racing. I saw you and your daughter barrel racing here recently. Where were you at?
We just went to Waco. They have the big elite barrel race down there, and it's such a fantastic class act barrel race that they put on down there. They do so much for the youth and, you know, even for us adults, the prizes, the way it's ran, it's seamless. And as a sponsor, we, as Gypsy Soul, we were also a sponsor, and they do so much for you as a sponsor. But no, that's my R&R with my daughters that we get to get away and run barrels. And between, growing the company, getting married, having kids, I took about a 7-year hiatus from running barrels. I've just been running for about 2 years again, right now, but it's been a great, tool for me and my daughters. At the end of the day, you know, we go out and ride and you just stick them on those horses and the things they tell you and the things you learn about their day. It's, you know, that is the biggest thing about, even if we're not going to a barrel race, how much it plugs me in to all three of us. It plugs us in together, that we enjoy, and they'll talk to you and open up. So, you know, I'm really trying to keep that going as they're, you know, 10 and 11 teenage years are just around the corner. So, you know, I'm praying that I have these super awesome kids that want to hang out with mom and always want to ride, and they keep me in the loop of what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Well, they have a super awesome mom, so I'm sure they're going to want to hang out with you. I don't think you're going to have a problem there.
we can only hope.
Right? So you have, how old are your girls?
10 and 11. They just started school last week, 4th and 6th grade. And Charlie is my 6th grader, and Jaylee is my 4th grader.
Oh, so ours are pretty close, because I have a 3rd and a 7th grader. Okay. And yeah, then you have, are they both? Are they both redheads? I know one's a redhead.
Charlie is my redhead, and Jaylee is a blonde.
A blonde. Okay. Because I have a redhead, too. And so tell me about your redhead. Does she live up to the redhead name?
Oh, yeah. She's pretty. She's super sweet. And you know, they're both amazing girls. But I tease her when she's not in such a great mood. I tell her the gremlin has come out. Put your gremlin back in your pocket and let's be Charlie. So she corrects me. She's not a redhead. She's a strawberry blonde. So, I tell her it's all the same. It's all the same. But when the gremlin comes out, she's a redhead.
I love it. And you had a family vacation recently. Where was it, in California that you went to?
Yes. I took a trip. I wanted to kill about 4 birds with 1 stone, I guess you could say. I wanted to get away with my daughters. I needed to go see my family in California. I needed to see some of our California Gypsy Soul account dealers. And then I'm also working with, John Bruner at Durham Trailers here in Weatherford, Texas. We are doing a Bloomer Outlaw trailer, designed by me and Amy, or Gypsy Soul, for NFR this year.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I hadn't really went on the road. You know, I hadn't, I'm really, I want to get, when I'm doing a new project, I want to see it from all aspects.
Right.
So I took my mom's bloomer trailer and we lived out of it for 10 days, the three of us girls. And I saw my accounts. We went and checked cattle at my dad's ranch up north in Parkfield, California. And I spent, you know, went and saw a bunch of my college friends and their kids. So within 10 days, you know, I took a little vacation. We got everything checked off and done. And I was ready to come home out of the trailer.
That was a lot.
But
I enjoyed seeing your photos.
Yeah, no, but thank you. Yeah, we have fun. The girls are good sports on all the photos and my Snapchats and everything. We have a great time. They play it right up with me too. So we have fun doing it.
Well, I love it. I wanted to talk a little bit. You are very passionate about empowering other women. And you had a post the other day about Kaylee Seed Smith, who won the Gypsy Soul Scholarship. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it's for both Amy and I and everyone at Gypsy Soul. It is very important that we empower women and give back. Amy and I have been so blessed by so many people in the industry or friends or family in our lives that they have done everything they can to help us succeed. So we feel we need to pass that on. And with every blessing that we get as a company or personally, we want to be able to empower other women, whether it be through what we say, how we live, or a financial way. So we have a $2,500 scholarship, and we just look for women that, you know, really live by their own rules. And that's not meaning, you know, breaking all these rules, but just really empowering themselves and empowering women around them and striving to be something better and more. And she really, you know, there were so many great women and young ladies that sent in applications to win. And I, you know, luckily I don't have to always pick. I don't pick everyone anymore. So it's hard to just pick one because there's so many girls that do so many great things. But she really just fit, you know, what, and it's truly so exciting and so empowering and feels so wonderful to be able to, you know, send somebody that's, you know, trying to make their way an extra $2,500.
That's amazing. I really think it's great that you guys do that. And it comes through in your posts that you guys make, how passionate you are about helping young women. So, and the fact that you and Fallon are now collaborating together and she has the same passion, I think it's just such a great collaboration. Tell us a little bit about how you guys came together and how that collaboration started.
I have known Fallon for several years, and we haven't spent a ton of time together, but we've had several phone call conversations over the last three years, I don't even know exactly, but several years. And we're both super busy. So, you know, someday I'm like, we have never even sat down and had a meal together. It's always just, you know, da 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 and off we go. But, over the years working with Fallon, you know, she's always wore our product and loves our product. And that's the number one thing that when Amy and I look for someone to endorse or partner with, because, you know, we partner with Larry D. Guy on Rope Like a Girl. We've worked with the Tuies from the Blind Side movie. You know, we've worked with several different types of people, but we always want someone that truly loves our product. Like Miranda Lambert, she loves our product, and that's why she wore it. We didn't tell her to wear it. But Fallon truly loved our product and loved our mantra and what Gypsy Soul was about. So it was a great thing that for us to team up. And we've worked together over the years. And then when the denim came out, and she, everything just kind of fell into place and came together. And it's so great to have a powerhouse like her, you know, writing for the brand. And it's so much more than a piece of jewelry that, you know, she puts her name on or a piece of clothing. There, when women put on Gypsy Soul products or they put on Fallon Taylor's products, you know, her tie-dye pants or our splatter paint pants, you know, I want them to feel empowered. I want them to say, I have my soul sisters riding with me, or I have, you know, it's, I know when I walk in a room, people are going to stare at me. I know when I walk through the airport, people are going to be like, what is she wearing? But it's okay. I love what I have on. I feel great in it. And that's what Fallon wants. And that's what Amy and I want women to feel.
I love it. And I can hear your passion behind that. I absolutely love it. So you obviously you're in the fashion world, and you just were at Dallas Market, and also there was another market in Vegas, right?
Yes, Magic Market, which is the largest apparel market in the world.
Okay, well, let's start with Dallas Market. Tell us a little bit about what you saw there and what we can expect for the fall season.
Well, when I was released from the showroom, because we had such an amazing market, we just opened a new showroom at the Dallas Market on the 13th floor. So that I have to brag on that. That's been 13. It's kind of ironic. We've almost been in business for 13 years, and we're on the 13th floor.
Oh, wow.
it's I don't know. It's kind of fun.
That's
I just
cool.
always read into something. But Dallas Market was super busy. You know, we're seeing lots of cool new trends for fall, which, you know, the trends I see at Dallas, a lot of people aren't going to see till next fall. So a lot of things I see, you know, are way ahead of what maybe people are even thinking about having in their closet.
Right.
But the biggest thing is, you know, denim. Denim is just such a huge resurge, which we're super excited as a business owner having a new denim line. You know, that's a great plus.
That's a plus.
But denim in dress, you know, dresses and vests and jackets and, blazers or denim on, denim shirts with denim jeans, the boyfriend fit, destruction. So I love seeing the resurge of the denim. I mean, the black legging is not going anywhere. Nobody panic, you know, but it's really neat to see how much denim is resurging everywhere heavily.
Hey, I got to tell you, Lorinda, we're talking to Lorinda, president of Gypsy Soul. That's at gypsysoul.com. One of the things, too, you know, our mission statement here at Horse Radio Network is uniting the horse world. And we've been trying to do that for 8 years. One of the things that I've seen happening, especially in fashion, is that the English riders are starting to adopt a lot of the Western fashion. We are seeing that more and more with the hunters and jumpers have been doing it for a couple of years. Now the dressage riders are putting some bling in. It really is becoming a crossover market. Have you seen that in sales?
It's not a ton for me in English, no. And the only, which to say, I don't know at the end consumer level. I have not had a dealer tell me that. But, you know, I don't know if that just doesn't get translated to me. But as I have friends that ride English that wear my product, so that could hold some truth, to it. I don't personally know.
And I think that's a matter of convenience, too. It's who's ever set up at their shows, you know, with your types of products are probably the ones that are buying.
Right.
Yeah. But it is becoming a thing for sure. So that's good for you ultimately, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes, it is. We want everyone to wear Gypsy Soul.
Right, exactly.
You know,
it opens up a whole new market.
That's right. That's right. Everyone needs to have something of that on every day.
Agreed. So what about Gypsy Soul for the fall? Can you give us a hint of what we might see?
Well, we have our couture collection, which we just launched a whole, new collection of it for you to wear at Christmas or any holiday parties. And it's a completely different feel than a lot of our jewelry that, we've had out in the line, which a lot of people, when they come into the showroom, they're like, this is so different, but I love it. And change for some people is very hard. But the couture collection is just phenomenal. I mean, you could put on some old black dress or just something plain that you just have out of your closet and pick up throw on one of those necklaces or the couture earrings, and it's a game changer. It really ties back to, you know, our company started with just footwear, and, you know, women bought or still do buy our footwear because it makes such a statement. You know, people notice them. They're different than any other, you know, Swarovski covered flip flops out there.
They're gorgeous.
So the couture collection really ties those two things together. We have what I'm super excited for, and we just sent them out to Fallon, is the new Gelbird jean, and it's a twill that has a lot of stretch to it, but it's not a baggy stretch, but it's a black and white striped jailbird jean with some turquoise, little bit of turquoise stitching on it, just a dab, so it's not overdone, because the heavy stitching is gone. It's done. It's over. So I'm telling you, ladies, it's time to go to your closets and start pulling heavy stitching. And I'm going to have to say the butt bling too. It's
oh,
time.
No,
it's,
don't say the butt bling.
This is the movement.
You're talking to country
yeah,
girl.
I'm
Glenn.
Sorry,
you
guys.
Understand?
It's time.
Heather,
yeah, it's
Heather
time.
Is now
time.
Heather is now going to be naked for the rest of the year. Throwing all those out.
But so. This is exciting. You have, this is what's exciting. And, you know, with fashion, don't let yourself get stuck. You know, if you just go to Google and Google fall 2015 denim trends. I'm sorry, there's no butt bling.
Oh.
So you need to transition with the times, and you find a great resale shop, or you find a great person to donate them to, and you get to go shopping and buy great fitted denim, you know, that just really fit you. And that's what, you know, or you can, with some kind of a little bit of color, you know, a pinstripe. Oh, it's huge. We, you know, camo is everywhere. So a camo jean would be super cute.
Oh, I can
cute.
Do camo. I love
so
some camo.
So even though it's not, it's a different kind of bling. So everything right. changes, and it's just, you know, tons of vintage denim is resurging in the market. But as a 40-year-old person in fashion, you have to be careful where you go with vintage, because I don't want to look like I pulled out my Bongo guest jeans from high school, and I'm wearing them, and people go, is Lorinda still trying to fit into her jeans from high school? So, you know, there's a fine line. I still own a pair of a real pair of vintage I found of Sergio Valente jeans that I still have. It's the only thing I've kept in my closet. I call them my weight checkers. So I
oh
just put them on to see, like,
hey,
okay, keep, they still
keep,
fit.
Keep those. You'll be able to sell them on eBay in about another 20 years for big bucks. So
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It's for my kids' college tuition. But no, you need to not look at fashion as, I have to get rid of that, or I have to get rid of this. Everything in your closet, and it goes back to what Fallon says, and it goes back to what Gypsy Soul lives by. You want to feel fabulous every day. So only buy things that make you feel fabulous. Do not buy things that are $6 at Ross, because it's $6.
Right,
if it's $6
right.
and you feel fabulous in it, buy it. But
right.
everything in your closet, I literally had my neighbor come over about a year and a half ago, because as you get older, I'm turning into my mother. I'm keeping things that I should not be keeping. And I would put things on, and she'd be like, that looks awful on you. And I'm like, why am I, you know, when you come in and you get dressed and you change 16 times, I don't want to do that. I want whether it's 10 things or 50 things, they all need to make you feel fabulous. Why,
right.
why get up every day and not be excited? No matter what size, shape, anything you are, there's so many options out there for you. You just got to take a little time to find them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all of those great tips, Lorinda. I really appreciate it. And I will look forward to you to come on the next episode and bring us some more fashion tips.
That's right. So everyone, get your closets cleaned out. So be ready for our next episode.
Yes, ma'am. I might still have some. Blame.
We'll see if Heather's going to have you back. This segment's going to cost her a fortune.
Oh, my husband just fainted.
That's okay. I know where she can get a great pair of tights.
Exactly.
We can help a sister out.
GypsySoul.com.
You guys have a great day, and thank you.
Thanks, Lorinda.
Thank you for having me on.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye. No problem. Have a great day.
Bye.
There you go. Clean out the closet. Oh, Goodwill, here you come.
I don't know if I can give up my bling. I am country girl glitz, you know. So.
That's right.
I don't know.
I know. You just about had a heart attack when she said that.
I did.
There's a few rodeo queens out there that are having heart attacks, too. <It's> like,
oh, goodness.
So what was she saying? That just plain jeans with nothing on them?
No, I think she's saying that camo is in. There are other ways. You
I didn't
know
camo ever went out. That's kind of always been in, hasn't it?
I think when it comes to it being on jeans or, you know, or shorts and that sort of thing, I think it kind of comes and goes. So, but definitely on jeans. I haven't seen it on jeans in a long time.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe the jean tights will be going out.
I'm glad she said that black leggings weren't going. I think I heard her say that because I don't want to give up my black leggings.
I know half the women in America would be naked without their black leggings.
Yes, they would.
That's funny. Oh. Well, speaking of rodeo queens, we got one coming up who's like the head of them all.
Yes, Miss Lauren Heaton, Miss Rodeo America. Are you with us, Lauren?
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. And so are you at the airport?
I am currently sitting on the plane.
Oh my goodness, so they've already boarded you.
We better make this quick.
Yes. So we're
good.
Okay, so give us a little bit, let's discuss the role of Miss Rodeo America and the Miss Rodeo America organization. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So Miss Rodeo America is the official ambassador for the professional sport of rodeo. We do orchestrate through the PRCA, but I am a general ambassador for the Western industry in general. And we have a state representative from almost every state. So we kind of view them as sales reps. They're kind of out in the field in each state, helping us regionally to promote their state rodeos and regional Western events. And then I kind of cover the country from coast to coast and cover all the bigger events in between.
Okay. And what are the pageant dates that's coming up in December? What are those dates?
It is. It is the 29th of November through the 6th of December. So Sunday to Sunday. We start the week before the NFR, and then it overlaps just about 4 days into the NFR this year.
Okay. And anyone can come to that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll have all of our tickets on our website at MissRodeoAmerica.com. And there are some events that are open to the public that are free, like horsemanship, which will be held at South Point this year. And then other ticketed events like our fashion show, which is always a really exciting event.
And that's all in Vegas?
It is. Yes, sir. Yep. It is at the MGM Grand Hotel. That is our official host hotel for our pageant. And it's going to be a really exciting week. We have a really phenomenal group of girls this year, and I'm really excited to see who's going to take the crown.
Very exciting. And you've been, of course, doing a lot of traveling. You and I haven't spoken quite a while. What have you been doing recently? What's your most recent thing?
You know, I am just coming off the big Cowboy Christmas run from the summer, and I'm actually really excited. What I'm going to today is actually the Wrangler Champions Challenge in Kennewick, Washington. So as we know, the Champions Challenges are a really big deal for the PRCA because they are the televised made-for-TV rodeos. So I'm actually going to get to interview with CBS Sports Network today and really get to see all of our top cowboys and the top livestock paired together today. So that's one of the really exciting events I've been looking forward to. So I'm excited to be able to represent that today.
Okay, and then where are you going after that? What comes after that? Or do you even know? Is your schedule out that far?
I know. I try not to think that far in advance. But, you know, I'm trying to think, where do I go after Washington? Oh, you know what? We actually make a trip up to Landstroms in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we get to go look at the Black Hills Gold. We're going to go visit our sponsor, and I'm going to get to go see how my crown was made as well as their other products they make. So that'll be a really fun trip.
Your crown is gorgeous too. Tell us about the crown and what all the gems and stuff that are in that crown. I'm all about the glitz, so I want to hear about it.
Yes, it is. It is Black Hills Gold with alexandrite, which is actually one of the rarest gemstones that are naturally, come from the ground. So it's a really, really rare. It's really fun. Everyone really likes to look at my crown because it takes up different colors depending on what I'm wearing. So they're always like, oh, today is this color and that color. So it's really fun. And it's really beautiful. We've had this crown for all 60 years. It's gone through a couple of changes, but it's always remained the same.
And I hear the announcement. They're going to make you turn off your phone soon. So.
Well, let you go, Lauren. We'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, guys. I hope you guys have a great show.
Have a good trip and have fun on CBS.
I will. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye.
You can hear the Southwest person or whoever making the announcement there.
Yes.
That's funny.
Well, she wanted so badly to make sure she got on. And, of course, it sounds like her flight was leaving early.
Right, exactly. It'd be the only day her flight leaves early.
Exactly.
Well, you know, she was very good. And I was just looking at the website, and she's right about the crown. It is neat. Do they each get a different one?
That was my next question for her. I was going to ask her, well, every state queen, they all have different crowns. Yes. My question I wanted to ask her, and we'll have to get clarification, is whether she keeps that crown or if a new person gets it. So.
Jennifer just typed in the background. I could see the headline, Miss Rodeo America removed from plane for not turning off the phone.
Riot ensued.
You know, I wanted to ask her how she packs all of her clothes and her hats, because she has like 12 different cowboy hats. I don't know how she packs it all to fly.
Oh, my goodness. She must have an entourage that helps her.
I want to know who protects the crown. That's what I want to know.
She, she must, it must sit in her lap, or maybe it has its own seat.
I don't know. It has its own mace attached.
Oh, goodness.
Well, that's funny. Well, she was great. So thank you so much, Heather. This has been a lot of fun. We want to remind everybody that Heather is going to be here the fourth Tuesday of every month with Women in Rodeo. And we also want to remind them where they can find you.
At womeninrodeo.com and also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What do you do at womeninrodeo.com? What's the website about?
Oh, it has my blog. So I do some blogging on there, and you can just learn about me, and the links to these shows will be posted on there as well.
Okay, and that is actually, it's womeninrodeo.com takes you to Country Girl Glitz.
Yes, yes.
So
it's just the
don't
back.
Don't be confused.
Yes.
Yeah. Country Girl Glitz is actually was one of your first websites?
Yes. Well, Country Girl Glitz is my actual business. So it's my fashion side of everything. And that's how I got started.
I got it. Okay. And of course, we're right on there. Horses in the Morning. Listen to our podcast. And you can do that very easily by going to horsesinthemorning.com to listen to the recorded version, which is how 99.9% of the people listen. Or you can go to our app, and you can find that in the App Store. It's free. It's easy. Just go to iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. The Horses in the Morning show is one of 8 shows that we do on the Horse Radio Network, and you can find all the recorded versions of all the shows there. And if you, one of the easiest things to do, too, is to go to horseradionetwork.com. If you are curious whether somebody's been a guest in our shows, we've had over 6,000 of them, guests over the last 8 years. If you're curious of whether they've been a guest and you want to go back and listen to a past episode, just go to horseradionetwork.com and do a search. In the search box works really well. Put their name in, and it'll bring up all the episodes that they have been on. It's the simplest way to do that. And I assume everybody can follow you. You're a big Twitterer, aren't you?
I am.
And what is it on Twitter?
Women in Rodeo.
Women in Rodeo. So it's just Women in Rodeo all around.
It is.
All right.
And I have Country Girl Glitzes out there, too.
Country Girl Glitz. Very good. Well, thank you, Heather. It's been good talking to you today.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you being part of the show. And we look forward to having you back on again next month.
Look forward to it.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Jamie will be here. It'll be Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Be safe.